Lord Jesus, now the Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word and study it here a little bit. Please open up our hearts and minds as we dig deep into your scriptures. Help us to learn exactly what you want us to learn as we look into your word. Lead, guide, and direct everything said and done. Just pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. I'd like to talk about a subject of being inexcusable. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from the faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Go right back to the beginning here. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There's too many Christians out here that have accepted the Lord as their Savior and believe with all their heart that He is who He is and our Lord and Savior, but they don't do anything for the Lord. They don't witness. They don't stand up in a... They don't stand out. They're pretty much ashamed of the fact that they're Christians. They'll get into a crowd, whether it be at school or work or amongst their family. They'll hear a bunch of dirty jokes going on, or they'll hear some contrary thing against the Scriptures, and they won't stand up for the Lord. They won't stand up for their beliefs. It's like they're going around ashamed of being Christians. That's an awful situation to be in. That's an awful feeling that you have when you get to that point, when you are so weak in your spiritual growth that you are afraid to stand up and be proud of being a Christian. Well, that's what's going on in this country right now. There's too many Christians that are sitting around ashamed of being a Christian, that are lazy, they're not standing up and being proud of their salvation. We need to all unite, stand up, and let our voice be heard in this country and all over the entire world. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here to the Romans. And it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Let us all be able to stand boldly and declare the fact that we are not ashamed of being Christians. We are not ashamed of the gospel, and preach and teach that gospel loudly so that the entire world will hear it, exactly like we've been instructed. For the Lord told us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Great Commission. We are told to do that. And we got to do that in a way that we stand firm, stand bold, preach and teach, and be heard. This is, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." We need to be right there with that same attitude that Paul has. All right, let's continue here. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek being the Gentile, to everyone else." In other words, it is available to everyone in the world. Salvation is available. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We've got to have the faith in God, faith in the Scriptures. Dig deep, learn the Scriptures, know the Scriptures. When you stand up and you start witnessing, you've got something to say, because it's right there in your memory, because you've been studying the Word. We're supposed to be able to take the time out to study. God will give you that opportunity to understand the Scriptures. Pray. Let the Holy Ghost work in you. He'll reveal the truth of the Scriptures to you. In verse 18 it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The heavens themselves declare the glory of God. We can just look out there in the space and see the majesty of the creation. Look on this earth. Even though this earth groaneth and travaileth as a result of the fall of man and the sin that's come upon this earth, but yet it's still proclaiming God's existence, His majesty. You just look out into nature. There's so many wonderful things to see, and it's only a fraction. This is the corrupt version of what it once was. And just imagine how great it's going to be in that new earth, on that new earth for eternity, for all the Christians to live with the Lord. In verse 19, it's Romans chapter 1, verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," in the creation itself, "for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We can look out into His creation and see and understand God's majesty, God's Godhead Himself, knowing that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit can all be revealed from creation, from His beautiful earth that He has created for us to live on here. Even though we keep messing it up everywhere we turn, but it still is great and awesome and declares His existence. In verse 21 it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Romans chapter 1, verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Oh boy, don't we see a lot of that today. All you got to do is go into any classroom around in the secular world, schools or colleges, or listen to the History Channel or the so-called the Learning Channel, which I prefer calling the Lion Channel, and listen to all this stupidity about evolution and the stupidity about global warming, and there's so many stupid things that are going on right now in this country. This whole ridiculous thing they're doing over there in Copenhagen with these trees, all it's about is trying to get our money. They are foolish. As it says here, "Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools." They declare these things, and then the earth itself is proclaiming the truth right in front of their face, but they refuse to believe the truth that's right in front of them. As it says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Verse 23 says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruption, or excuse me, like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. This is talking about idolatry here, about making idols and worshiping idols. Knowing in their heart that God exists, they become fools and decide that they want to craft God into what they think God should be and make an idol, and then worship that idol, worship the work of their hand. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God's going to be with us. He's going to work with us. He's going to be very long-suffering. He's going to be tolerant of a lot of stuff. But it'll get to a point where he's going to just back off and say, all right, that's what way you want it. Have at it. You can worship all these animals and these creatures and go into all your lust and just and not influence them anymore, not call them in and turn them right over to Satan and let Satan have them, and they'll just deep into their lustful ways, and as it says in the last verse there, and have pleasure in them that do them, and have pleasure in their sins for a while. Then there'll be the judgment day, and then they'll spend eternity in hell because of their decision that they made, because they are without excuse. Verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They look to this idol or this activity, whatever God they might be worshiping in whatever aspect, turn their back on the true and living God. In verse 26 it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, this is talking about homosexual activities here. This is talking about women desiring women, not desiring men. And in verse 27 it talks, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. This is man burning in their lust for men. This is men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Clearly, homosexuality is a sin unto God, and it's so many places in the scriptures that clearly illustrate that, and this is one of them. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They turned away from God, turned to their own personal lust, unnatural lust talked about here, leaving the natural use of woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Nature shows us, even if you don't read the scripture, you can look into nature and see that homosexuality in any form is wrong. It is contrary to the scriptures. It is contrary to nature. It don't matter how they want to explain it, or how they might declare, oh, well, it's we were born. We have no control over this. It isn't our genes. It's genetically. We're preconditioned to be this way at birth. And that's all ridiculous. That's talking about this reprobate mind. Their mind is twisted. Their mind is corrupt. They sinned so much that God backed off and said, fine, Satan, here you go. You can have at it. And they get into that lifestyle, and their minds are corrupted, and they cannot see the truth anymore. It takes a lot to convert somebody like that. You've got to get through all that. Witness to them. Show them the scriptures. Show them in here the truth. so that they can get away from Satan and get away from that lifestyle and get saved and live a God-glorifying life. So we need to help those that have fallen into sin in that way. Preach to them, teach to them, love them, guide them out of that sin into the loving arms of God. It goes on here and describes some other sins that man gets into when they get away from God. Verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Boy, don't just sound like a common, pick up any newspaper, listen to the radio, listen to the news broadcasts on TV. This is running rampant in our country, running rampant in our government, running rampant throughout the entire world. This is exactly like the scriptures say, it is running rampant right now throughout this world. So we got to get up. We got to be proud to be a Christian. We got to be not ashamed, just like it says in verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We got to stand up, get to work. Got a lot of work ahead of us. Do our job. Because we don't want millions and millions of people standing there at the great white throne judgment going to hell when we have an opportunity to work for the Lord and help spread His gospel and lead more and more people to the Lord. We got to get up and get something done about it. Let's get busy, people. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Knowing that they're doing wrong, people cannot live a life of sin and say, oh, well, I didn't know it was sin. They know it. They know these lifestyles that they're living. They know these activities are wrong. And yet they do them and have pleasure in them that do them. Because when they're in the midst of a horrible, sinful act, if they can get others to join them in that act, it gives them comfort and having pleasure that someone else is in that same mess that they're in, which is terrible in its own. Let's finish this up here in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. The heavens declare the glory of God. His majesty is declared in His creation. And yet they might declare, well, I haven't heard the gospel preached. I haven't read the Bible. You are still without excuse because the world itself, the creation itself, the earth itself declares the glory of God. So they are without excuse. Over in John chapter 3, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus being a Pharisee, one of the Sanhedrin. He was a very prominent man within the Sanhedrin, very well learned in the scriptures. And Jesus is speaking to him, and he tells him in verse 10 of chapter 3, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Salvation is available. to whosoever believeth. All those that have turned away from God, have turned away from the truth that is proclaimed in His creation, have turned to the ways of Satan, can still have salvation. They can come to the Lord. They can believe and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting life available to all of us, whosoever. So turn your life over to the Lord. Get away from that stupid mess that the scientists are trying to cram down our throat, the ones that are lying and telling us all this garbage and spreading it around. It's going to be so interesting if the Lord tarries, which I don't think He's going to be another 100 years on this planet, but if He does tarry, people are going to look back at this time and laugh at how ridiculous and how ignorant science was at this time, to turn their back on the truth that is found in the Scriptures, have turned their back on the truth that is proclaimed in all the creation, and have turned to Satan and his followers. If you want to know the truth, it can be found in the Scriptures. Of any subject, the basis of it can all be traced back to the Scriptures. And His creation proclaims His existence. We've got time to get into another scripture here in 2 Peter. Let's look at this real quick. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." These scoffers are those that condemn the Word, that look down on the Word, look down on Christians, that have their own lusts. They have their own agenda. Every one of these people that are promoting this ridiculous stuff that's going on now with this global warming and so forth have their own agenda. They got a way of making some profit on this, or they got their religious beliefs, which are humanistic religion. They say, "Oh, we're not religious." Well, it sure takes faith to believe that garbage that they're trying to spread and brainwash people into believing that is a religion. So they say they've taken religion out of school. All they've done is taken Christianity out of school and replaced it with a humanistic religion. But it says right here, it's a prophecy. It's what's going to occur in the last days. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming?" Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back into this a little bit more. Walking after their own lust. You see, they don't want the existence of God. They don't want the accountability of God. So they come up with, well, let's see, there was no God. There is no God. So therefore, I can do whatever I want. And when I die, I just go on back into the earth. So have at it. And there's no moral code. We can live as simple as we want because we don't have to answer to anybody. That's what they're after, their own lust. They want the freedom to be able to be just as horrible and sinful as they want with no accountability. Okay, let's continue here. Chapter 3, verse 4 says, "And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Now, this was a statement that was made by the Jews and that Peter was preaching to and talking to, and that knew some of the scriptures of the prophets and prophecies of the Old Testament. And they were saying, well, they said that this was going to come to an end by now. Why hasn't it come to an end? So therefore, it must not be true, and so forth. But they were willingly ignorant, because right here in verse 5 it says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." This is speaking about the flood. They're willingly and willfully ignorant of the fact that God condemned the whole earth to death except for Noah and his family, and there was a time of accountability. They don't want to hear about accountability. They want to be free to do their lustful desires. They were like that back then. They're like that now. They don't want to be accountable, so they come up with all this other junk to try to convince people that man is in control of things, that man has the ability to destroy the planet. Well, man does not have the ability to destroy the planet. I don't care how much pollution man dumps out, he cannot destroy the planet. I don't care how many nuclear bombs he blows up, he cannot destroy the planet. God is not going to let man destroy the planet. God will destroy the planet at the moment that he wants it destroyed. We ain't going to do that. That's arrogant man thinking that he can do that. We can make life uncomfortable for us. We can pollute the world. We're supposed to take care of the world. We're supposed to take care of the blessings that God's given us, clean water and clean air and the animals and the plants and so forth. But we're not supposed to worship them. Let's continue on here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. Let's read that again. It says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." Talking about the great flood. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and prediction of ungodly men." God will keep in store the earth. He's going to keep things together. Man cannot destroy it. God will destroy it at the time. Because let's read that again. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, the word of God, are kept in store." God keeps everything together. He keeps everything working. He keeps the earth spinning. He keeps gravity in his existence. He keeps the planets where they need to be. He keeps the sun from burning us up. He keeps everything in store. It says, "Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." He will destroy it at the time that he wants to destroy it in the last days. It says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." Time doesn't mean anything to the creator of time. A flash in our eye or a blink to us is not very significant. A thousand years to the Lord is not very significant. When you are everlasting past and will be everlasting future, a thousand years doesn't mean anything. It could be a day compared to us. And that's what he's speaking of here. He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord is very patient with us, giving us an opportunity for salvation. So take that opportunity. Listen to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Turn your life over to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness for your sins. Submit yourself to the Lord. Become a fruitful, productive Christian, not ashamed of being a Christian. And spread that gospel. Teach and preach. And let's put an end to this stupidity that's going on throughout the country and in the entire world right now. Turn away from those sinful beliefs and those sinful ways. Turn to God. That's all we have time for, so let's go ahead and close now in prayer as we pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. There's so much truth that can be found in so many places throughout all the scriptures. Please open our hearts and minds and help us to be able to receive that truth and stand up firm and unite and spread the gospel throughout all the world as you have instructed us to do. Lead, guide, direct everything is said and done. And thank you so much for all your many blessings as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.